Okay, so here's the plan for the duration. Frida requested one additional shiur about Lashon Hara. It turns out that last night I gave a Musar Shmooze in the YU Beis Medrash, which I spoke about Lashon Hara. So it's up on YU Torah if you want to hear some of my concluding thoughts, including some of my editorial comments. So yutorah.org. Basically, most of my life is found on yutorah.org at this point, but that's not a bad thing. What I'd like to do just to kind of conclude our time here in the shul is I'll give one shiur on taking off challah tonight. And then what I'd like to do for the next month and a half, 2 months, whatever remains, is to resume a series that we've had over a number of summers called the Halachic Men series. If you remember, we went through some of the life and times of those figures who upon whom we based our halachic approach to life. So I'd like to return to some of that conversation over the next couple of weeks. We'll do some of the early figures. I want to talk about the Rif and the Rush and the Rambam and the Tur. And I think that should be enough to keep us busy for the summer. And let's go. So a brief overview of Hafrashas Challah. So why am I talking about Challah? I'm talking about Challah because a number of years ago, we used to have a bakery here in the Heights. When I first moved to the Heights, so there were two kosher bakeries. There was Grunenbaum's on 181st, and there was Gideon's, which was a branch of Grunenbaum's on 187th. Both bakeries were under the supervision of KAJ. The community has been contracting, and it's been getting smaller, and basically, they couldn't support first the bakery on 181st, which closed. The bakery on 181st is actually the only place that I remember in the Heights where you could walk in and you would really smell the fragrance of Grünkern. It was like a very exciting thing in Grunenbaum's on 181st. Grunenbaum's 181st closed. Then Gideon's on 187th. First, it was KEJ Hashgacha. It went under the OU. For some reason, people in town are saying that they can't eat there because it's under the OU. Freknish Kankashas, I don't understand that. I actually once sat on the Din Torah where the caterer in a shul, where the rabbi said that the caterer in his own shul was not reliable because the caterer was under the OU. And I'm like, whoa, like, dude, you know, this is not my language. I don't know what's going on. But here in the neighborhood, there were people who didn't like the fact that Gideon's changed its hashgacha to the OU. They wanted to have certain products that KAJ did not allow in. And shortly after, Gideon's up on 187th closed. Gideon's was great, but now we don't have any bakeries in the Heights. So my dear friend, Dashiell Ferguson, posted on Facebook when Gideon's closed. Dashiell posted that, you know what? This is actually a wonderful thing, because look at the bottom source of page 1, going over to the top of page 2. It says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos that you're supposed to bake challah for Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, there is a remez bakosav, there's a hint in the pasuk, the pasuk says on Friday you should prepare everything, all that you can bake you should bake. Okay, that you're supposed to bake on Friday to prepare for Shabbos. And at the time of the Gemara, there was an established practice, like the Magen Avraham brings, that you bake on Friday. You bake on Friday, that's the practice. Uba avono senu harabim, with our tremendous sins. Hayom hischilo ezen noshin lahashbis haminhag hahu. Today, certain women stopped that minhag of baking their own challah. V'lochin min ha'ofeh. And they buy challahs from the local baker. V'lav shafir avdi, and they are not acting properly. D'maktinim bozeh kavod Shabbos, because this decreases the honor of Shabbos. Says the Bir Halacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, because the honor for Shabbos is experienced more when we bake our own challah. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, okay. That's what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. There is a discussion in the Poskim that, you know what, maybe buying from a bakery is not doesn't impinge on Kavod Shabbos if the challahs in the bakery are better than the challahs that you get at home, right? No, it's Kavod Shabbos is supposed to be that I have good food on Shabbos, no? And I prepare to make sure I have good food on Shabbos. If the challahs that I'm going to buy, let's say, are the bagged challahs that have been 3 weeks old and were sitting at the bottom of someone's trunk for a while, those challahs do not enhance my Kavod Shabbos, right? If the challahs that I'm going to bake at home are not good-tasting challahs, that does not enhance my Kavod Shabbos. And says Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul in his Tshuvas Arlet Zion, he says, you know what? If the bakery challahs are better than the challahs that you bake, so then it's not considered a problem of Kavod Shabbos, and you're allowed to buy challahs from the bakery. So, okay, you're allowed to buy challah from the bakery. That's what we assume a halacha. Beautiful. But what can we do? In Washington Heights, we no longer have a bakery to buy challahs from. Now, you can get some challahs up in Frank's. They import some challahs from Gelbstein's in Lakewood. But it's still not the same. It's not the same. So people started baking challah. And the Mishnah Berurah, I guess, would be happy. But this leads to questions that people are asking the rabbi. Hey, rabbi, what about taking off challah? Because when I bake challah, I have to take off challah. So what I'd like to do tonight is just a very brief overview of some of the laws of taking off challah. So let's begin top source. Next week's parasha, not this coming Shabbos, but the Shabbos after, is Parshas Shlach. And in Parshas Shlach, the Torah tells us Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleihem, b'vo achem al ha'aretz asher ani mevi eschem shama." When you come to the land that I am bringing you there, the Gemara in Ksubis, pardon me, the Gemara in Ksubis on Chof Hei teaches us that b'vo achem means that the obligation to take off challah, which is what this pasuk is talking about, that obligation begins right when you enter Eretz Yisrael. Most mitzvos hatzlius ba'aretz do not begin until after kibush v'chiluk, after 14 years after we entered Eretz Yisrael. There's 7 years that we conquered the land, 7 years that was necessary to divide the land up, but this obligation begins right away. So what happens when you enter the land? V'haya b'acholchem milechem ha'aretz, tarimu sruma l'Hashem. When you eat from the bread, you should take off truma. Reishis ariso seichem chala tarimu sruma. Who wants to translate this pasuk for me? Reishis ariso seichem chala tarimu sruma. Dun dun dun. We should actually hope that Alex Trebek lives long enough for the next guy to come and beat James Holzhauer and others. But dun 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 dun.
The first of your dough, chala, you should separate. As an offering.
You separate as an offering. Okay, so truma means an offering. So reishis ariso seichem means the first of your dough. Chala. What does chala mean? Chala means bread. The first of your dough, bread, you should take off truma. So what is the gift called? What is the name of, I take a little bit of bread off when I bake it. What's that name called in the Chumash? Truma. Challah means the loaf of bread. Right? This is like a trick question. Dun, da, 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 dum. Right? This is a trick question. Because, reishis ariso seichem challah tarimus truma. You should take truma from the first of your dough of challah, and that thing that you take off is kitrumas goren. It has the status of truma that you take from a silo of truma of wheat, etc. And you should give from the first of your dough, you should give to Hashem truma for all your generations. So the halacha basically is that we have a mitzvah to take off the first of our dough. And the first of our dough that I take off is called truma. And it's kitrumas goren. So the challah that I take off has the same halachos as truma. Remember, truma is that when I have wheat or wine or oil in Eretz Yisrael, so min ha'tzara, I have to take some of it off and give it to the kohen. That's the din of truma. Challah, the bit of dough that I take off, has the same status of truma. And Shulchan Aruch gives us a few reasons that it has the same status, that you're supposed to take it min ha'mukaf. Min ha'mukaf means, if I have dough over here, right? I should take the challah off from the area that's right next to this dough. I shouldn't take challah from something that's over here, over here. It should be nearby. Right? That's the din of min hamukaf. Also, you can't take challah min hatar al atameh. Also, kosher b'truma lo yitrom, imtar ein a truma, kach b'challah. The Mishnayos in the first pack of truma speak about that certain people should not take off truma and the truma is not good. The challah is the same thing. Right? And by truma, you shouldn't take mizalzeh. You shouldn't take from year one to year two. The same thing is true of challah. So the din is that truma and challah share a number of halachos. But the gift that I take off is called, in Torah language, truma. We make a mistake. We call it challah. Challah is really the loaf. The gift that I take off and I'm supposed to give to a kohen is really called truma, not challah. This is actually nogeila halacha. What bracha do you make when you take off challah? Done. Da 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 dum bum bum bum. Look in the Shulchan Aruch. Simin Shinchav Chasif Aleph. Bishosha Yafrish Chala. Yivarech. You make a bracha. What's the bracha? Asher Kitchano b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu lahafresh Truma. Does anyone do this?
I don't bake.
You don't. You don't bake. Okay. Does anyone who takes off Chala make the bracha lahafresh Truma? What did they teach you in grade school?
I don't know.
Okay. In Louisiana, maybe a little different. So, lahafish chala minaisa. That's a standard. Well, it says in Shulchan Aruch that you make the bracha, lahafish truma. The Ramah writes, if you want, you can make the bracha lahafish chala. But Shulchan Aruch says you should make the bracha lahafish truma. My kids think I'm crazy. Well, for many reasons. But my kids think I'm crazy because when I explain to them about taking off challah, etc., I say that we make the bracha lahafresh truma. And they're like, but Abba, no one does that. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You make the bracha lahafresh truma. How come everybody doesn't do it? That's actually a great question. The Ramah says, if you want, you can make the bracha lahafresh challah. But the Shach writes that it's preferred to make the bracha lahafresh truma. The Shach then says, maybe you should make the bracha lahafresh trumas chala. I get both of them in there. Others say, maybe lahafresh chalas truma. I get them both in there also. Look in the Shach and the Taz, etc. Should you say the bracha lahafresh chala min ha'isa? So the Taz says, don't make the bracha lahafresh chala min ha'isa, because our brachos aren't that specific, no? This actually is relevant. This morning I gave a shiur. We're doing Tevilas Kelim now in my shiur in Yeshiva. So what bracha do you make when you immerse utensils in the mikvah?
Al Tevilas
Kelim. Al Tevilas Kelim. Correct? The Shach says, no siri. You make the bracha al Tevilas Klei Matechas. Because metal, right? Al Tevilas Kelim, you don't have to immerse all Kelim. Right? You only have to immerse metal Kelim. The Shach says, make the bracha al Tevilas Klei Matechas. The Taz jumps up and down, and he speaks wood and nickels. He says, no. Our brachos don't have to be that specific. And therefore the Taz over here says, don't make the bracha lahafish chala min ha'isa. Just make the bracha lahafish chala. By the way, lahafish chala min ha'isa would also create problems. Because as we're going to see later on, you don't have to take chala from dough. You can also take chala when the bread is fully baked. Right? So, whoa, dude, what's going on over here? Right? Lahafish chala min ha'isa. It's not dough anymore. So the practice should be, and the Gra has an interesting comment over here. Elijah Kramer of Vilna, 1720-1797. Elijah Kramer says, Kimosha kasev tarimu truma, right? The Gra says that the Pasuk writes, take off truma, ubelashon hamikra chala Nikra ha'isa. In biblical Hebrew, chala means dough. Kimosha kasav, chalos belulos. The pasuk by the Karban Mincha says, the chala that is all mixed up. The harbe kiyotze, and there are many psukim that speak about chala, and it always means dough. Ava b'loshan ha-mishnah, nikra chala b'chol makom. Right? In the Mishnah, right, chala is the gift that I take off. And of O. And this is what the Ramah says, oh, that if you want, you could do the bracha of lahafresh chala. Umikom makom nachon levarich b'loshon mikra, kemosha kasa b'reish perkvav, de brachas of Yehuda omer, barim neb de sha'im, v'lo ka'amar yirakos b'loshon masnisen. Says the Gra, you should make brachos in biblical Hebrew. All of our prayers are, there are two different languages. There's biblical, actually there's many different languages. There are different forms of Hebrew. There is biblical Hebrew and there is rabbinic Hebrew. Says Elijah Kramer of Vilna that all of our brachos are, all of our tefillos are in biblical Hebrew. No? And if that's the case, the bracha should be lahafresh truma, because the gift I take off is called truma, not challah. This actually explains one of the great mysteries. When I do bedikas chametz, what bracha do I make when I do bedikas chametz? I know, it's a couple months ago. Al bir chametz. Dude, what's going on? Al bir chametz. You're doing bedika. Bir is when you burn it. So some say, oh yeah, you're making the bracha now, and you're going to burn it tomorrow. Yeah, now am I not allowed to talk all day? That's an unbelievable chumrah. No, I can't talk from bedikas chametz all the way until I burn my chametz the next day. Wow. Right? Well, what's going on? So many mafarshim say no, that the word bior in biblical Hebrew means to get rid of, to check and get rid of it. To check. Biarti hakodesh min habayis. Biarti hakodesh min habayis means I checked through my house, I made sure I don't have any truma, miser, etc. Right? The word beor in Chumash does not mean Mendelssohn. Beor in Chumash means that I checked through the house. And brachos are made in biblical Hebrew. We daven in biblical Hebrew, not in rabbinic Hebrew. They are two separate languages. This is why, for example, there are more paskins that on Shemini Atzeres, I should not use the word chag. Right? There's a whole discussion. What do you say in Shemona Esrei and Shemini Atzeres? You say Shemini Atzeres hachag, chag Shemini Atzeres, Shemini chag Atzeres. The Rama says skip the word chag, because chag in the biblical Hebrew means carbon chagiga. That's what chag means. And you know what? On Shemini Atzeres, it didn't bring no carbon chagiga. So therefore, biblical Hebrew. Gra is saying brachos are made in biblical Hebrew. Therefore, you make the bracha, so I tell my kids, and they think I'm crazy, but this is probably the least of the reasons why they think I'm nuts, but you make the bracha lahafresh truma, not lahafresh challah. After you make the bracha. So first of all, how do you make the bracha and then grab it? And then grab the dough? Or do you first grab the dough and then make the bracha? So the normal practice, standard Jewish practice should be that we make the bracha, then you take some off. You're supposed to take off, the Rambam says over here, a kezayis. The Mishnayos say that you take off a 24th or a 48th or whatever, but today all of our kahanim are tame, you can't eat the challah anyway, so therefore we take off a tiny bit, we take off just a kezayis. Right? And normal Judaism should be that we make the bracha before we do it, so you make the bracha, then you take it off. Standard practice is not like that. Standard practice is, you take some off, then you make the bracha, and then you make the declaration, Harezu, challah, truma, right? Right? Whatever it is, you say, it is what it is, right? This is it, right? Harezu, whatever. We make the bracha after we took it off. It's not exactly clear why. The Rambam sounds like you make the bracha before you take it off. It's not exactly clear why, but this is how it's done. Okay, so these are some of the issues in terms of challah. Now, challah is rabbinic today. It's rabbinic both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, it's rabbinic because the Torah writes b'vo'achem al ha'aretz, and Chazal have a drasha that b'vo'achem requires bias kochem. Bias kochem means that you need the majority of the Jewish people to be in Eretz Yisrael in order to have a biblical obligation in challah. Well, we are getting pretty close, no? Actually, we're there, pretty much. Baruch Hashem, it's amazing. My grandparents, your grandparents.
Can't have Hetter
Mechira,
right?
Whoa, okay, so that would be a disaster for Hetter Mechira. But, we have a saving grace. The saving grace is that Rav Soloveitchik quoted from his grandfather, and many Rishonim say this way also, that the din of Bias Kochem doesn't just mean that you need the majority of the Jewish people, but it has to be Jewish people divided up by tribes. Right? In other words, Bias Kochem means that the majority of the Jewish people have to live in Eretz Yisrael, and you got to know where you are, you have to know what tribe you're from, etc. If it's not Nischal Kol HaShvatim, it's not divided up by tribes, so then even if you have numerically the majority of the Jewish people, it doesn't count. We actually discussed this for a few years. We learned Harios here in the Shabbos afternoon. Gemara Shiris, one of the issues that comes up in Harios is who is obligated to bring the Par Halam Davash Tzibur. It's an obligation every Shabbos, an obligation on the Bezin HaGadol. And do you need representatives of every Shabbat in order to constitute an Eretz Yisrael? That's like a big Harios topic. But basically, we assume that the obligation to take off what we will now call challah, even though it's really called truma, but I don't want to confuse you. But the obligation to take off what we now call challah is only rabbinic, even in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, there are differences even today when the obligation to take off challah in Eretz Yisrael is rabbinic, and there is an obligation to take off challah outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is also rabbinic. There's still a difference between the obligation to take off challah in Eretz Yisrael and the obligation to take off challah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Let's go a step back. Mishnah in Kedushin, or mitzvah satzulius ba'aretz. Any agricultural mitzvah applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Dude, challah! Right?
What about Orla?
Oh, so the Gemara tells us, excellent question. So Orla is a halacha moshe misina that applies in Chutz La'aretz. Halacha moshe misina, okay? So Orla applies in Chutz La'aretz, got it. Whether Revai applies in Chutz La'aretz or not, is machlokes between Rambam and the Gaonim. Is Revai an extinction of Orla? Is Revai a different din?
What about Yashan?
Yashan, Chadash. Yeah, so that's not really an agricultural mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael.
No, it's a good question. But the Mishnah Kedushin says that
all agricultural mitzvahs are called mitzvahs atulias, but Eretz only apply in Eretz Yisrael. What about challah? So the answer is, well, challah is not really an agricultural mitzvah, because challah is not a din on the grain. If I have grain, I don't have to take off challah. I have wheat, I don't take off challah. I only have to take off challah when I need the flour with water, no? So the mitzvah is really based on, all I need is challah dough, right? You know, no one else knows that song. My kids like sing it all day. But the point is that challah is not fully an agricultural mitzvah. It is a mitzvah that's totally in the Gilgal Ha'isa, in the kneading of the dough, and therefore challah applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. But the challah in Chutz La'aretz is different than the challah in Eretz Yisrael, which is as follows. If I don't take off challah, just like if I don't take off truma, or I don't take off ma'aser, the food is treif. It's called tevel. You're not allowed to eat it. Treif. It'll chafe up your pots, it'll chafe up your pans. It's mamish like chazar eye. It's like the worst stuff ever. Right? It's really bad. Treif. Well, let's say I'm sitting at the Shabbos meal, and I remember that, you know what, I didn't take off challah. What do I do?
Where are you?
So if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, finish.
If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you can't take challah.
You can't eat it on Shabbos, right? It's treif. And at Shabbos, I can't take off challah on Shabbos, because taking off challah on Shabbos looks like you're fixing stuff. It's like metakein mana. Just like I'm not allowed to finish a keli, I can't fix a challah. Right? It looks like you're being machdish stuff. Looks like I'm being metakein mana. So if I'm in Eretz Yisrael and I didn't take off challah, I'm stuck. I'm in Chutz La'aretz. I didn't take off challah. I'm sitting at my Shabbos meal. What do I do? Yum, yum, yum. Keep on eating. Make sure a teeny bit remains at the end. Right? In Chutz La'aretz, the halacha is ochel v'holeich v'achar kach mafresh. You can eat it, continue eating it, and then take the challah off at the end. The Ramah says that you have to make sure you have a teeny bit that remains. In other words, I need enough that remains that I could take some as challah, or truma, whatever we call it, and the rest of it remains. It's like the stuff that stays behind. Because it looks stupid to take everything off. Right? So you can't eat the whole challah. You have to have a teeny bit that remains. Generally speaking, there's always a little bit of challah that remains.
What if you're in a place that it's where it's safek that it's in Eretz Yisrael?
What if you're in a place where
you're not sure if it's in Eretz Yisrael or not?
If you're not sure if it's Eretz Yisrael. So again, that, in our case, since challah today is Dirabon, it would be a safek Dirabon
l'hakel. Okay.
Right, so we would allow you to do these tricks, but The basic din is challah in chutz la'aretz is ochel v'hoch hakach mafish. By the way, chutz la'aretz versus Eretz Yisrael for these purposes is not where the wheat grew, but it is where I need the challah dough. Right? That is what it is. Hi, Ben.
Hi. In that case, would you have to burn that little bit of life after Shabbat?
Yes. Yeah? That little bit becomes... Now, burning the challah. Right? Merely you're supposed to give the challah to a kohen. Now, the thing is that our Kohanim today are all in a state of ritual impurity. Now, if the Kohen is in the state of ritual impurity, he's not allowed to eat the challah. Now, technically speaking, the fact that I'm a Tomei Mace does not prevent me from eating challah or truma. It's only if you have a Tumah Hayotza Olav Migufo. It's only if you have a Tumah that emanates from your body. For example, if a guy has gonorrhea, that guy is called Zav. You probably don't want to eat whatever. You don't want to be at the same table with the guy anyway, but that's called a Zav. If a woman is a Nida or a Zava, if a man is a Balkeri, a man has a seminal emission, so in that case, you're not allowed to eat the challah or the truma, but you can go to the mikvah and then you can eat it. Okay, so theoretically, we could eat challah or truma today, but we got another problem. The other problem is, I'm not 1,000,000% sure who's a Kohen. A guy walks into the show and says, I'm a Kohen. We're like, prove it. Where's your Kohen license? You're like, we don't know exactly that anyone's a Kohen today. So, you know what?
We also don't know if they're Kohen.
We're not 1,000,000% sure that people are Kohen. So how can they do it? How can we do any Kohen stuff? That's what you're asking?
No, I'm saying that even people are, well, I guess you would say they're Kohen.
Right, you could be a cholo,
even if dead. Or you could just be a fake Kohen that your great-great-grandfather claims.
You could be. I mean, it could be that your great-great-grandfather made it up out of whole cloth. Right? It could be. Who knows? Right? The Chavis Yotir has a tshuva about a guy who was getting all the Pidyon HaBen money for years and years and years. Like, he was getting rich on it. Then they found out that dude isn't really a Kohen. They had this in Eretz Yisrael a couple years ago, actually. They found that the guy who they... You asked about the Heter Mechira. They found that the guy who they sold the entire country to wasn't the guy. That's a pretty big disaster, no? That's like... Oh, Ahmed, my Muslim is Jewish, right? Oh my gosh, right? Now we're afghahak tzaris, right? You have to have good goyish lineage, right? Who knows? But the basic point is that may ikar hadin, we can eat challah today if you're tahar. There are some complications that, for example, the Gemara has a rule that let's say a man just went to the mikvah, so the man is tahar, but we're worried that the first time he urinates, maybe some shechva zera came out with it, right? So therefore, maybe you could only eat the challah right before. So that doesn't help so much. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that today we don't give challah to our kohanim because of this concern. We don't give challah to our kohanos also. So a female could eat challah. The wife of a Kohen or the daughter of a Kohen could technically eat it. But we don't give it because of these concerns that maybe there's tumah. If you have to give challah to a Kohen, now when we have to give challah to a Kohen, I'll give you the case. Let's say it's Erev Pesach. And it's Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. You know that disaster year? When right, Erev Pesach is on Shabbos? It comes up like once every 19 years or something, whatever it is. Erev Pesach Shechalios B'Shabbos. And let's say you forgot to take off Truma, you forgot to take off challah before Shabbos. So usually it's ochel v'holichach ha-kamachfish, right? Usually what you do is you eat it, and then after Shabbos you take a little bit, like Ben said, and you burn it in the oven. Well, now I can't wait till after Shabbos to take it and burn it in the oven, because after Shabbos I'm going to be sitting at the Seder, and I can't have my chametz tikhala. So what do I do in that case? So I call in a Kohen who's under 9 years old, who we know didn't have any seminal emissions. And we say, dude, eat this. He's going, why? Right, eat it! Right? That's
take
what you do.
Take one for the team.
What? Take one. They take it for the giver. Right? That's basically what we do. So, now there is a discussion, by the way. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecharo Livracha, used to be machmir on this. We don't give our challah to a Kohen today because the Kohen can't eat it. Now, the question that many Rishonim deal with is, one second, maybe I should give it to the Kohen anyway and let the Kohen burn it. The question is there a separate mitzvah of nesina to the Kohen, as a po- even when the Kohen can't eat the challah or the truma, etc.? So, Tzimach Leikis, Harishonim, Ritzvi Pesach Reng, has a discussion that maybe you should be machmir to give it to the Kohen and let the Kohen burn it. That's super duper from. Most of us don't do that. Most of us take the challah that we took off, or the truma, whatever we're calling it now, and we burn it. Now, where do you burn it? Remember, the challah that you take off is only burnt to a Kohen. So the challah that I take off, we have to burn. Technically speaking, you should make a barbecue or a fire and burn it. Nisrafin, right? That'd be great. The only thing is that most of us don't have like fireplaces where we throw stuff in, especially in the heights. Most of our apartments don't have fireplaces. So, anyone have a fireplace?
No, those of us who have gas, though.
So you could put it on the gas burner and have it burn up. Well, don't you have to be worried, maybe, that some of that truma is going to get stuck in your burners and shrafe up your burners? Well,
the flame will incinerate it.
Well, the flame will incinerate it. Afterwards, it will become kosher. But maybe you have to be worried that it's going to spread to a part of the burner where the flame won't get to. So it's not the best idea to put on the burner. So people put in the oven. You put in the oven, is that going to shrafe up your oven? So the answer is you put in your oven wrapped in
foil.
So it doesn't chafe up your oven. You say, right, not so complicated. Right? The reason why you wrap it up. Now, if you want, you could technically dig a hole outside and bury it. The basic idea is that we don't want anyone who's not a Kohen to eat the stuff. So you could take your challah, truma, whatever we're calling it, go outside and bury it. If the cops see what you're doing, like, oh, I'm just burying some dough. I don't know, it might not go over that well, but that's what we do. Okay, now how much dough do you need to take off challah? How much flour do you need, we should say? So what's the standard approach in Judaism? How many pounds of flour to take off challah with a bracha?
More than I normally make.
5. The standard approach is that if you have 2.5 pounds, you take off challah without a bracha. 5 pounds, you take off challah with a bracha. Now, here's the thing. I'm Lubavitch. Right? Look in the spice and spirit of Jewish cooking. Right? Anyone have that? Is it still like a standard wedding gift?
I have it, not from
the wedding. Not from the wedding.
I have it from somewhere.
Hey, the spice and spirit of Jewish cooking is a Lubavitch cookbook. And it says in the Lubavitch cookbook that the measurement for challah with a bracha is 3 pounds, 11 ounces. And the measurement of challah without a bracha is going to be anything more than 2 pounds 10 ounces. Anything less than 2 pounds 10 ounces, you do not have to take off challah at all. Good? Now, the thing is that most of us, when we bake, we don't use pounds. We use this weird, crazy measurement called cups. So I had to do a cup-to-pound conversion, and now I need my calculator. Ready? The measure of 1 pound of flour. How many cups are in 1 pound of flour? Well, the measure of 1 pound of flour will vary depending on, depending on the type of flour. Here's a guide. If the recipe calls for 1 pound of all-purpose flour, use 3 1/3 cups. So it's 3 1/3 cups per pound. But let's go slowly. That means 3 1/3 cups of wheat all-purpose flour. If you are baking, remember, challah is only if it's one of the 5 grains. What are the 5 grains? Well, the 5 grains are all forms of wheat and barley. Technically speaking, oats is probably not one of the 5 grains. Spelt, no one knows what it is anyway. Rye is probably not one. Spelt is one of the 5 grains. Rye is not one of the 5 grains. There was a professor, Yehuda Felix, years ago, who wrote this book, Hachai V'Hatzomeach, basically, he argued that many of the identifications that we have of plants are incorrect. This is why Rev Schechter and others are machmir not to eat oats, because I'm not sure what bracha you make on oats. Maybe it's not a mizonos, maybe it's a ha'adama. Right? It might not be one of the 5 grains, but only the 5 grains. So wheat and barley.
Does any oatmeal?
What?
Does any oatmeal?
Oh my gosh. Well, I think he does, but he'll make a ha'adama and a mizonos and something else beforehand. Hey, whatever. Okay, that's the way it is. Rabbi Weider does not eat oatmeal also. I'm not so religious. I like that.
So Rav Schechter has a thing with milk too, doesn't he?
Rav Schechter doesn't like milk. Right, so can you imagine Rav Schechter, like, what's a man eat for breakfast? Right? No oats, no. No, it's a disaster, no? Okay. So here's the thing. So the ratio of cups to pounds varies based on the type of flour it is. So 3 1/3 is the measure with all-purpose wheat flour. That means that if I use the measurement, how many... Okay, let's do this. 3 1/3 cups is 1 pound. Okay, does anyone want to do the math? So if we assume that the chiyuv of challah is going to be 3 pounds, 11 ounces, that's the Lubavitch shear. Okay, let's do the normal people shear first. Okay, calculators. Remember when your elementary school teacher said, like, you're not going to have a calculator wherever you go? Ha, ha, ha. Right? So...
So... How many... Wait, what's the minimum?
So it's 3 1/3 cups. The minimum, according to most people, is 5 pounds.
5 pounds.
5 times 3 1/3 is going to be, let's say, 17 2/3.
Over 3.
Right?
That's
17. 17 1/3.
Wait,
17 cups.
All but under 17.
What? Right? It's all over 17 cups. Now, we assume, though, you see, the measurement that most people use of 5 pounds is based on the Chazon Ishir. The Chazon Ishir is actually the known to be Yehuda Shir. It says in Shulchan Aruch over here in Hilchos Challah how you make a cup that is going to have the shear of challah. The shear of challah is amazing because the shear of challah is an asiris ha'efa. That's what it says in the Torah. And asiris ha'efa equals 43 1/5 beitzim. Now, how do you remember that? The gematria of challah is?
43.
43! And you just add a fifth. So 43 1/5 is the gematria of challah. So and it says in Shulchan Aruch how many fingers are involved to make this cup. And they make the cup, and based on the fingers, and then they put the eggs in, and you know what? It doesn't have 43 eggs in the cup that's that size. The Noda Yehuda did this. He made the cup. And it didn't work. So the Noda Yehuda came up with this idea that Niskatnu HaBeitzim, that our eggs got smaller. So the Chazon Ish Shear is all based on this assumption that eggs got smaller. Well, that's a nice idea, but like there's zero evidence. If anything, our eggs are much larger than their eggs used to be. And you know the real answer why Noda Yehuda's challah measurement didn't work? So Noda Yehuda's main student was Rebbe Elazar Fleckels, who wrote the Tshuva Me'ahava. It's a great name for a sefer, the Tshuva Me'ahava. So Rebbe Elazar Fleckels says, anyone who saw the Rebbe knew he had massive thumbs. That's the answer! This is the great mystery in Judaism. The Noda Yehuda had really big thumbs. But you measure a cup based on the size of your fingers. He had big fingers. That's the answer. And it's not that the eggs got smaller, it's that his fingers were fatter. Right? So now, the standard shear that all Jews use throughout all of history were the smaller shiurim, which are the equivalent of the shiurim that are called Reb Chaim Noz shiurim, which are the shiurim that only remain today among the Lubavitch people. Among most Jewish people, these shiurim are not used. But these are the correct shiurim. When I sit at the Pesach Seder, right, you're at a Pesach Seder with me, when I sit at the Pesach Seder, I don't stuff my face with matzah, I eat a normal amount of matzah. Right?
Still more than I would say, like,
I eat two kazesim. Okay. Right? I eat 2 kazesim, not 1 kazayas. Okay, that's what it's in general. I eat 2 kazesim. Right? Okay, wonderful. You don't stuff your face. Right? A kazayas is, take the biggest olive you ever saw. That's a kazayas. No? I don't know if you guys know Nussan Slifkin. He has this blog called Rational Judaism.
Oh, yes.
So he has like a famous kazayas chart. He has a picture of an olive. That's it! Right? Again, you know, a kazayas is not an ostrich egg, whatever it is. But this all begins here in Hilchos Challah, and it seems to me that you should take off challah with a bracha when you have 3 pounds, 11 ounces of challah, and actually when you have around 1 pound, almost 2 pounds, you should take off challah without a bracha. That's the basic idea. We should use a smaller shear. Anyone who wants to calculate what 3 pounds, 11 ounces would be if there are 3 1/3 cups in a pound, Right? So three times, who's good with the calculator? Three pounds, 11 ounces is the shear of challah for Lubavitchers, and there are 3 1/3 cups in a pound. Right? We all hate in elementary school, I know.
They didn't have calculators when I was in
high school.
A little over
12. A little over 12? Okay, so 12 cups of flour, that's right?
Like 12.3.
12.3. Okay, so that's the answer. So when you have 12.3 cups, this is the difference between 12.3 cups and 17 cups is 5. Right? That's the difference. That's a big difference. You have to take off challah with a bracha when you have around 12.3 cups, etc. Now, the difficulty thing over here that comes up is as follows. There's a halacha called Siruf Sala. Let's say I don't have a full measure over here of challah, and I don't have a full measure over here, but they're together in the same basket. They then combine, I get a full measure. Okay, so I have 6 cups here, 6 cups here. They come together, 12 cups, and I have to take off challah with a bracha. What does it mean they come together? So it could come together in one of two ways. It could come together if it's in the same utensil, or it could come, the minig is that we put a towel on top of it, or it could come together also if it's just on the counter and they're touching enough, I pull it away and have strings. That's called neshicha. Right? That's another way they could come together. Again, these are all the dinim in Yerideya Shin Chaf Hei. So let's say I have a freezer, and in my freezer I have cookie dough. Why do I say cookie dough in my freezer? Because you know what my grandmother used to say, actually my sister's husband's grandmother, but we call her Bubby. Anyway, Bubby used to say that if you're good to your freezer, your freezer is good to you. What that means is, if you have lots of cookie dough in your freezer, so late night snacks are much more tasty. Right? You take out cookie dough, you make it, it's beautiful. Well, one second. Maybe, even though I didn't have a shir challah over here in this batch, in this batch, but they're all in the same keli. They're all in the freezer. Right? Because it's all in the same utensil. Maybe that combines. And maybe I have to take off challah with a bracha, right, from my cookies. Yeah. Usually cookies don't have 12 cups of flour in it, no? But if I'm good to my freezer, I'm going to have...
Does cookie dough
halachically
count?
Okay, so yeah, any dough halachically is going to be chayiv and challah. Even batter can be chayiv and challah. That's called the bli or raka, providing it's batter that you're going to bake. And halachically, baking is different than frying, although frying without any oil is considered baking. So pancakes could be chayiv and challah if you make enough of them. Pancake is a... The difference between batter and dough is batter pours, and dough doesn't, correct?
Yeah.
That's the official definition. It's called blila raka versus blila ava, but the Mishnah in challah says if I have a blila raka that I'm going to bake, it's chayiv in challah. Now, this kind of gets interesting. Most poskim assume, though, that the refrigerator does not count as a keli for these purposes because the dinim in Meseches Kelim is that if something is too big, it's not considered a keli. A keli, by definition, is something that's metaltel male verekon, something that I can carry, whether it's full or empty. Can you carry your refrigerator full or empty?
Neither.
I can't. Right? You can't do it. So it's well, not, if it's a keli that's machzik our...
Oh, yeah, what if you have a mini fridge?
As a mini fridge, it might be the issue, but usually you don't store all your cookie dough in the mini fridge.
Could.
You could, right? A mini freezer. Right, it could be that you do. I don't know that. I don't know if you freeze if it's machzik arba'im sa'ah. I have a measurement of how much it has to be machzik in or how large the freezer has to be a problem. The measurement is 332 liters. What does that equal in terms of cubic feet? Okay. I don't know if you remember, like when I was in high school, you used to have these notebooks called Trapper Keepers, and in the back they had all those conversion tables.
What?
No one else remembers this?
Kids
don't. Right. They were awesome. Right? I don't remember any of this stuff. Okay. Now, basically, you're also only chayv and challah if you need the flour, and flour has to be wheat or barley, or one of the derivatives of wheat and barley, the 5 grains. So it's only chayv if you need it with one of the 7 mashkin. There are 7 official liquids in the Torah. Yad Shachat Dam. Yayin. Wine. Dalid is blood. Shin is Shemen. Ches is Cholav. Tes is Tal. Yad, Shachat, and Devash, and Mayim. Okay? So these are, Devash is honey, and Mayim is water. Right? Now, of those seven mashkim, theoretically, right, you're probably not going to make dough with blood, I'm guessing. Right? Although the Gentiles have been accusing Jews for many, many years of this. Right? But Yad Shachat Dam, so Yayin, Shemen, Cholov. You're not supposed to make bread with Cholov. No, it says in Yerudei Simen Tzadi Zayin that bread that's made with milk is treif, because you make it with salami. So milchic bread is a very big halachic problem. The whole controversy recently over Bimbo Bakery and Arnold's bread, or they would lose the OU, is because they wanted to add milk to the recipe. Bread made with milk is treif. That's what it says in Yerudei Simen Tzadi Zayin. So you can't make bread with blood, you can't make it with milk, but you couldn't make it with any of those other liquids. You make it with any of those other liquids, it is going to be chayiv and challah. But if I use a different liquid, let's say I use apple juice to make it, so then it's not chayiv and challah.
Which means it's like matzah, or flour with juice is technically...
Correct.
Suppose it was apple juice that was... reconstituted.
So even if it's so reconstituted pure apple juice is a very serious question. If it's pure if it's pure apple juice, it is not chayiv and challah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, don't make bread with pure apple juice. Because if you make bread with pure apple juice, so then what? It might not be it's not going to be chayiv in challah, etc. What you should do is you should add a little bit of liquid in it, and then it will be chayiv and challah. Add a little bit of water, let's say. That's what you do. The concentrated question is a hard question. I mean, I'm not like avoiding you. It's just difficult. Okay, now.
I'm just a troublemaker. I
don't know. No. Not over these issues. now, let's go on. Let's say I take off challah. And then the challah falls back in. What happens then?
Take it out.
Let's say I can't recognize it. So most things in Judaism are butter 1 in 60. Challah isn't butter 1 in 60. Challah is butter 1 in 100. So if I take off one kezayis of challah, falls back in. If there's 100 parts, as opposed to this one little bit that fell in, it's going to be butter. I don't have to take off any more challah. All is grand.
So you don't have to even take it.
I took it off and then it fell back in. I'm good to go. That's what Shlomo Zalman Arbach writes in Chelag Aleph, Simen Samach, Os Aleph. Just leave it. Let's say it's not going to be bottle. Let's say it falls in and you don't have 100 times. So then what do you do? So either everything became treif. That would be bad. But we have an Eitzah. Mm-hmm. The idea is go to three rabbis and be Matir Neder. Say... I took this challah off. But you know what? When I took it off, I didn't realize I was going to fall into the thing. Had I realized it would fall in, I wouldn't have taken it off. I would have been more careful. I can be Matir Neder. And I got out of the problem. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Chav Gimel. Im Chazrim Nisarva B'Yisa. I'm reading from the Ramah, three lines up. And then the Shulchan Aruch, if it gets mixed into the dough, and there's not 101 to be mevatalet, if you didn't eat it yet, if you ate it, you're stuck. Right? Do tshuva. But if you didn't eat it yet, yishal l'chacham aleha, v'yartir lo k'neder. So ask the rabbi, and they'll be matir the neder. And the chaya adam, the chachmas adam, the sefer shari tzedek, gives you the text to say, when you are matir neder, and... that's what you do. I've never gotten that shayla yet. Be careful. Don't let your challah fall back in. I think this is like the overview we have. Challah is actually a lot of fun. It's a fun halacha. Many people don't know the dinim of hafrashas challah well. It's not a simple thing. You have to know the dinim. It's not so complicated, but you can't take off from one flavor onto another flavor. If I have 5 pounds of dough, let's use that as a rough example, and 2 pounds are very sweet, and 3 pounds are very sour, right? This is going to be, I don't know, whatever. Two different flavors. It can't be mafish one on the other. It has to be the same flavor. Okay, thank you for listening. Have a good evening, and we'll begin our Halachic Men series next week, God willing.